الصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد.
ويا أيها الناس.
My dear respected Muslims, before we take the lesson of the sixth juz of the Quran, just to finish with regards to what we were discussing yesterday, one ayah that was recited yesterday where Allah Rabbul Izzah says, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هو مولانا وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون. The Ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever difficulty you're going through life, understand that nothing befalls you except that which Allah has decreed for you. Illa ma kataba Allahu lana. Whatever Allah has decreed for you and I, that's what's going to happen. Then Allah says, هو مولانا, Allah is our master. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. No matter what the scenario and the case may be, every believer is supposed to place his trust on the Almighty Allah. Never ever think of suicide as the answer and the solution to my problems. Because as we recited today in the 19th raka'ah, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ. If Allah makes a difficulty, a calamity before a believer, فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ, there is no one that can remove this difficulty from that individual. وَإِن يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ, if Allah wishes good for someone, فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ, there's no one that can take away this goodness that will befall the believer. And many people, they commit suicide for absurd reasons. Whether it's true or not, Allahu alam bisawab. But there was one man, he disliked the fact that he had to always stand in long queues and long lines. He hated it. He goes to Target, there's a long line. He goes to Publix, there's a long line. He goes to Min Auto dealership, there's a long line. Wherever he goes, there's a long line. He goes to Lacoste, there's a long line. Plus he has to deal with managers, so it's a long line. So he decides, you know what, I'm sick and tired of standing in a line the whole time, I'm going to commit suicide. So he goes to the Golden Gate Bridge and he asks someone, where's the place where everyone commits suicide from? So the brother tells him, you know that long line you see over there, that's the line for committing suicide. So the point is, whatever you do, suicide is not the solution. Taking this life which Allah has blessed us with is not the solution. We are worthy of value to Allah. We are precious to our Creator. We hold significance in the eyes of the Almighty. That's why the poet so beautifully said it, إِذَا اشْتَدَّ بِكَ الْبَلْوَى فَفَكِّرْ فِي أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ. If any calamity befalls you, ponder over the surah, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكْ فَعُسْرٌ بَيْنَ يُسْرَيْنِ إِذَا فَكَّرْتَهُ فَفْرَحْ. Because when you ponder over this surah, you'll understand that no calamity is there in my life except before it there was goodness, after it there will also be goodness. So whatever I'm going through in life is temporary, it's going to come to an end. Before that I experience goodness, happiness, joy. And after that also I definitely will experience goodness. So understand, لا كاشف له إلا هو, the only being who can take away our problems is the Almighty Allah. And like we mentioned yesterday, sometimes we make dua for years on end. But understand, if we haven't been given what we have asked for, it is only for our benefit. Our du'as are accepted in three ways. Either we are given what we want immediately, or either we are given after a certain period of time, or if we are not given what we have asked for, it means that Allah, who knows us better than we know ourselves, knows that what we are asking for is not good for us. Coming on to the sixth juz of the Quran, before we understand the lesson, let's understand by way of example. Many years ago, when I was probably about 15, 16, my father gave me this example, and it stuck with me since then. He says that there was a man, his son, and a donkey. And they were on a journey, they were traveling. And the donkey was weak. So the man and his son, they think to themselves, you know what, the journey is long, the donkey is weak. What we'll do, both of us will walk. And we'll just drag the donkey along with us. So the son agrees, the father's happy, they begin their journey. They come to the first town. When they come to the first town, the people and the dwellers and the people that were living there say to them, how idiotic can you two be? How stupid are you two individuals? You got an animal, but both of you are choosing to walk. Why don't one of you ride the animal and one of you walk? So the son says to the father, you know what, you're my father, you're my father, I owe you that respect. So, oh father, you can ride the animal and I'll walk. So now the father's on the animal and the son is walking. They come to the second town. When they come to the second town, the people of that town, they say, how arrogant is this father? How merciless is this father? He's sitting on the animal and he's enjoying himself and his son is having to walk. This is not correct, this is not right, this is not moral. So the father immediately jumps off the animal and he tells his son, oh my son, you quickly jump on. So now the son is on the animal and the father is walking and they continue on their journey. When they come to the third town, the people of the third town say, how is it possible? This son is so disrespectful. How can the son be on the animal and he's making his father walk? So both of them never rode the animal, there was a problem. The father rode the animal, there was a problem. The son rode the animal, there was also a problem. The moral of the story is you can never ever please everyone. You can never please the entire creation. There'll always be people who are pointing fingers, brother Taraweeh is too slow, brother Taraweeh is too long, brother the talk after 4 rak'at was supposed to be 9 minutes, you're on 11 minutes, what's going on? The talk after Isha was supposed to be 15, you're hitting 21. You can never please everyone. But the reality is, in this dunya, if I sign a contract with someone and he becomes my employee, even if he doesn't do his job properly, I am bound and I am binded to fulfill this contract with my employee. If you have a tenant living in a home and he's not paying you on time for that month, you'll have to allow him to live. But Allah Rabbul Izzah, our creator, our maker, our owner, our sustainer, the beauty and the power of the Almighty is He can replace us, substitute us whenever He wishes. Allah doesn't have to tolerate us. And that's the lesson of the sixth juz of the Quran, where Allah says, before we come to the ayah of the sixth juz, in another verse Allah says, إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. O Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Allah wishes, He can take you away. He can destroy you, He can remove you, He can replace you, He can substitute you, and He can bring another nation that will be the dwellers of the dunya. And where will Allah take us? Allah will take us to a place where we don't even know. So the lesson of the sixth juz of the Quran is, Allah mentions the characteristics of some of the people He would replace us with if He was to replace us. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, man yartadda minkum an deenihi, those who turn their back on the deen of Allah, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ, Allah will replace them with such a nation. Now what are the characteristics of this nation? And we are going to take one characteristic and apply it as the rule of the sixth juz. يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ, the first characteristic of the nation that would replace us is they love Allah, Allah loves them. The second characteristic they possess is أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, they are passionate to the believers, they are stern on the disbelievers. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, the third characteristic, they strive in the path of Allah. And the fourth characteristic which we are going to take as the lesson of the fourth juz, sixth juz of the Quran is وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. In modern day terminology, we'll translate this as they don't fear the statement logo kya kahenge. What will the people say? This is a sickness. This is a sickness and a disease that has corrupted this ummah. What is the sickness? We scared logo kya kahenge bhai. Logo kya kahenge. And لا يخافون لومة لائم, if you want to know the actual translation, it means that characteristic of the people that will replace us, they don't fear the criticism of the critics. In this day and age, we follow deen. But I'll only follow deen as long as my culture approves of it. As long as my society, my community approve of this aspect of my deen, I'll act upon my deen. I'll follow the Quran and the Sunnah. I'll follow the words of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as long as it is in line with my culture. The moment Quran and Sunnah goes against my culture, sorry brother, my priorities lie, my loyalties lie with my culture. And it's a sad reality. If you look at families, and a common thing, alhamdulillah this last year I travelled quite a bit, and a common problem. I was with a brother in Australia, Fiji, Indian brother. And he was narrating to me the whole incident of how he got married and the amount of difficulty he had to endure, persevere, go through because of the fact that the girl he wanted to marry and who wanted to marry him was from a caste lower than his. Her parents weren't having it. Let's remember the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعِينَ. And my brothers, whatever I'm saying to you is not my own words. It's the words of scholars with years of experience. I'm just quoting and I'm just relaying their words to you. So don't think to yourself that I'm coming and I'm just relaying what I've heard from the scholars. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعِينَ. If a man is looking for a girl to marry, a woman is married for four reasons. لِمَالِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا. For her wealth, for her beauty, for her lineage and for her deen. فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. Translating in modern terminology, choose the girl with deen, your life is going to be calm, perfect, chilling. Then Rasulullah ﷺ, he says in another hadith, إِذَا أَتَاكُم مَّن تَرْضَوْنَ دِينُهُ وَخُلُقُهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. If someone comes knocking on your door to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage, and he has deen, he has akhlaq, he has good code of conduct, he has good mannerisms, فَزَوِّجُوهُ, then marry him off to your daughter if your daughter is happy and he is happy. And if you, O parent, don't act upon this, then you are the reason for corruption, fitna and facade on the face of the earth. But in this day and age, because of this sickness, in your family you got married outside your race, outside your background, outside your culture, you'll have to face an outlash from your community. The lesson of the sixth juz of Quran is, don't fear people, fear the creator of people. Don't fear what people have to say, fear what your messenger has to say. Don't fear what people say, fear what your creator has to say. And this is the reality. He had to go through months of hardship before he was finally able to marry that girl, that brother in Australia. And it's a common issue. Another aspect, when it comes to the kids, to a certain degree, of course, each and every parent will encourage their child. But out of the fear of what people will say with regards to this child, he might want to endure and go on a certain path. But because people may not approve of the path he wishes to take, this child is shut down. You have to do this. Aapko to doctor hi banna padega. Allahu Akbar. You have to become a doctor. Your cousin brother is a doctor. Your cousin sister is a doctor. What will I tell your auntie and your uncle? You have to be a doctor. Don't fear the criticism of the critics. Act upon deen of Islam for yourself, for your Allah. Act upon the deen to please your creator. Like we said, you can't please everyone. You can't. And how much fitna and fasad is there on the earth today? Because we haven't acted upon Quran and Sunnah. We've claimed to act upon Quran and Sunnah, but we haven't embodied it into our lives. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, has asked that, oh Aisha, explain to us and describe for us the akhlaq of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did she give a long bayan and a long lecture describing the characteristics of the Messenger? No. She mentioned in a few words, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ الْقُرْآنِ. You want to know the characteristics of the Messenger? He was a walking, talking Qur'an. He was an embodiment of the Qur'an. So the lesson of the sixth juz is live in this world to please Allah. Act upon Qur'an and Sunnah. Don't fear what culture says. Many parents, this mainly applies mainly to the parents because that's the age, they tell their kids to be on deen. But the moment that kid will start doing something in the deen which we are unhappy with, he, for example, wants to grow a beard, and after a while his parents will tell him no. He wants to start dressing in a certain way. You come into the dawah, you can't look like that. You come into a wedding, how can you go to a wedding in a thobe? You have to put on a suit. What will the people say? Are the people determining how we live? Are the people determining how we dress? Is society determining how I walk and talk? Is society determining what path I choose to take in my life? When Rasulullah ﷺ said, for example, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever treads a path of knowledge, of the ilm of قال الله قال الرسول, then Allah will make easy for him the path to Jannah. But even in that aspect, people in this day and age, especially in many countries, whether it be the UK, whatever it may be, people are making their kids huffaz of Quran, making them ulama of deen, so they can show off and they can boast to the people. My son is a hafiz, my son is an alim, my son is a qari, my son is this, my son is that. We've lost focus. The qibla in front of the heart is not people. The qibla in front of the heart, my dear Muslims, is Allah. We have to please our Creator. I'm trying to remember the couplets. There were some amazing couplets. لَيْتَكَ تَحْلُو وَالْحَيَاةُ مَرِيرَةُ وَلَيْتَكَ تَرْضَى وَالْأَنَامُ غِضَابُ وَلَيْتَكَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ عَامِرُ وَبَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ الْعَالَمِينَ خَرَابُ. Allahu Akbar. The poet says, لَيْتَكَ تَحْلُو وَالْحَيَاةُ مَرِيرَةُ. Oh Allah, as long as my relationship with you is sweet, even if my relationship with the entire humanity is bitter, I don't care. لَيْتَكَ تَرْضَى وَالْأَنَامُ غِضَابُ. Oh Allah, as long as you are happy with me, even if the entire creation is unhappy with me, I don't care. This is how we're supposed to be living, to please our Creator. Act upon Quran and Sunnah, your life will change. Because if Allah wishes to replace us, remove us, substitute us from this world, one of the characteristics of the people who will replace us with is لا يخافون لومة لائم. They don't fear لوگ کیا کہیں گے. They're not scared. So if any lesson we can take from the sixth juz pertaining to us, we're trying to pick out those lessons that we can implement and apply into our lives, is that lesson of don't worry about people. People are not going to help you acquire Jannah. People are not going to tell you. There was a man, Allahu Akbar, in the time of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a bit inclined towards the deen. So his friend comes to him, and his friend says to him, you know what, don't worry, don't come onto the deen of Muhammad, pay me a wage regularly at certain intervals, and I will carry your punishment for you on the day of Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. You pay me money and I'll carry your punishment on the day of Qiyamah. Allah reveals ayat. أفرأيت الذي تولى وأعطى قليلا وأكدى عنده علم الغيب فهو يرى. Didn't you see that person? He was giving. Then even after a while he realized that this person can't do nothing for me. This person who I am trying so hard to please is going to be the first one that's going to show me his back on the day of Qiyamah. The person I spent and I exhausted all my energies to make happy is the first one that's going to say bye on the day of Qiyamah. He's going to be gone. You think he's going to say, brother, you've done certain things in your life to please me. I got you, brother. On the day of Qiyamah, don't worry, I got you. Brother, he ain't got himself. Where is he going to look after you? I'll take the rap. You ain't taking no rap, my brother. Everyone is going to have to answer for himself. Live in this world like a person who is seeking Allah, who is seeking the happiness of his Creator, who is seeking following the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the lesson of the sixth juz of the Quran, my dear respected Muslims, is don't fear what the people will say, and understand it's impossible to make everyone happy. The Sunnah for today, what was the Sunnah for yesterday? Allah. The du'a when you give to your host when leaving a da'wah, a food gathering. Did anyone have a da'wah today that they applied this du'a? Inshallah, the month is still long. We still got about the 20 days. We'll probably get about 21 da'wahs in those 20 days. But try and bring these du'as into practice. And the du'a today, the sunnah du'a we'll take for today is the famous du'a which everyone knows at the time of breaking fast is Allahumma laka sumtu, O Allah, for you I fasted. Wabika amantu, O Allah, in you I believe. What comes after that? Wa alayka tawakkaltu, O Allah, on you do I place my trust. Then what comes after that?
Wa la rizqika after.
On your risk, on your sustenance, I do my iftar. What comes after that? Fataqabbal minni, O Allah, accept for me. the most authentic hadith with regards to a dua that should be said at the time of iftar is a dua other than this dua. That dua is ذهب الظمع وابتلت العروق وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله. ذهب الظمع, the thirst is gone. وابتلت العروق, the veins have become moistened. وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله, and definitely, certainly, the أجر and the ثواب and the reward is there if Allah wills. So let's try and also implement this dua into our daily practice when we break our, when we do our futur and we break our fast. ذهب الظمع وابتلت العروق وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله. And the ayah, what ayah number did we do yesterday?
Five.
Ayah number five. What was ayah number five? I don't even remember.
Void.
MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. Tabarak al-Ladhi bi
yadihi
al-mulk. Tabarak al-Ladhi bi yadihi al-mulk. Wa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Al-Ladhi khalaq al-mawta wal-hayata liyabluwakum mayyukum ahsanu amala. Wa huwa al-Aziz al-Ghafur. Al-Ladhi khalaq sab'a samawatin tibaqan ma tara fi khalq ar-Rahman min tafawut. Farji' al-basara hal tara min futur. Thumma arji' al-basara karratayn yanqalib ilayka al-basaru khasi'an wa huwa hasir. So today we are on the fifth ayah. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ وَأَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابَ السَّعِيرِ. My brothers, most probably after Ramadan is gone, we're not going to end up learning it. In this month of the Quran, try and memorize it. Not for what people will say, for what Allah will think. How happy will Allah be? You memorized His kalam, His word. You took time out from your busy schedule and you dedicated it to your Creator. SubhanAllah wa bihamdih, SubhanAllahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.